guys. Welcome back to Wine, Crime, and TV Time. I'm Kaylee.
And I'm Emily.
And today we have another true crime episode for you guys. I saw that everybody was liking our Bachelor episode.
I actually haven't looked at it.
Yeah, it seems like everybody's pretty happy with that. And maybe they're liking the Vanderpump little section too. I don't know, but I did notice that.
I haven't really been looking. I don't know why. I did listen to it though, and I also did laugh at our little argument.
What, Tammy?
Yeah.
So funny. I told Liz, I was like, Emily has Tammy in her top four. She was like, what?
That was our first disagreement in our 10 years of friendship.
Literally. So what are you drinking today?
I'm drinking a mixture of cake from Franklin Hill Winery, vineyard, and I forget the other one. It's a red one, though. It's very good, though. It's not keto.
Is cake, like, sweet?
It's so sweet. That's why you, like, have to mix it. Otherwise, you will die. But it tastes really good.
Does it taste like cake?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I wonder if... Do you know how there's, like, certain red wines that are supposed to be really good if you cook in, like, chocolate cake?
Uh-huh.
I wonder if that's one.
Maybe. They also have a cotton candy one, too, that tastes just like cotton candy.
Interesting. I hate cotton candy.
It's very good. It's
fine. I believe that it's good.
Because my mom got me, like, this huge tub of cotton candy for Christmas. And it's, like, strawberry banana, and I hate banana. So, if anyone wants a huge tub of cotton candy, come to my house.
Maybe we'll do a giveaway. No, I like literally, it's not that I even necessarily hate cotton candy. I just hate the smell of like cotton. Like, I don't like cotton candy sprays. I think they're so disgusting. No, like fresh cotton candy, I'm like, that's nice. But I'm just never like, I could really go for some cotton candy today.
I really only get it if I'm at a carnival.
Right. I do like the cotton candy grapes.
Did I ever tell you about the time I got those?
No.
I think I got a bad batch because it didn't taste any different than a regular grape, and I paid $7 for that.
Really? Oh, yeah, they're like good.
Yeah, nope, didn't.
They taste like cotton candy. But I've always been like weird about cotton candy flavored things. I don't like it. Like, remember the cotton candy flavored Twix yogurt?
Mm-hmm.
Trix, I mean, not Twix. Mm-hmm.
My mom never let me have that because it was too much sugar.
My mom would buy it every now and then. So I guess we'll get into today's episode. I was briefly going to touch on Heidi Broussard and Peyton Houston, but there isn't really any more information out there. I did see there's something called Nightline, which I think is like a knockoff of Dateline.
I was going to say.
And they like have a little documentary thing out. I didn't watch it or anything, but I saw that that existed.
On whom?
I saw it on our Facebook group.
Who did they do the documentary on?
Oh, I'm sorry. On Heidi Broussard.
Oh.
But there's just not enough out yet, I feel like.
On our Chris Watts one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And actually, was it two days ago was Shanann's birthday. So I saw people were, like, wishing her a happy birthday. So that's sad.
Yeah.
And they had Peyton's funeral this past week. But other than that, there hasn't been any, like, breaking news. And I haven't seen anything new popping up.
No new murders.
No new murders. No new crimes. But today, we're going to actually be talking about a missing persons case, which we don't do very often. I'm trying to think, have we ever done a missing persons case?
Yeah, Angela Hammond.
Oh, yeah. So it's been a little while.
Yeah.
This one's more, like, current. But yeah, today we're going to be talking about Caitlin Akins. So Caitlin Akins was born on September 2nd, 1996, in Caroline County, Virginia. I've had a little bit of trouble figuring out her exact hometown. I think she was from Fredericksburg, but everything says Caroline County. And Fredericksburg seems to be in Spotsylvania County, so I'm very confused about, but they're like right next to each other, so it's not that big of a deal. But that's where everything's pretty much going to be taking place. So she was the oldest daughter to Lisa Sullivan, and she had a younger sister named Gabby. And from what Gabby and Lisa say, Caitlin and Gabby had always been really, really close growing up. Their entire childhood, they were attached at the hip. And Caitlin was described as quirky, unique, outgoing, emotional, wild, and sometimes unpredictable. That's what her mom said.
Wow.
Yeah.
Normally they say really good things, but emotional and unpredictable, I feel like.
I couldn't tell what she meant by emotional, if she meant, like, had good emotions. I don't know. I thought that was kind of weird, too.
Yeah, super strange.
So her mom said that when Caitlin was a toddler, her father left Lisa, and they never really had any sort of relationship with him after that. It kind of seemed like, from what she said, he'd abandoned them. So when Caitlin was 7, her mom married James Brandon. And it seemed like James was a really awesome stepfather to them, from what I gathered. He, like, basically became their father, and he really stepped up, and he would take them to, like, sports practices. He would play games with them. He would help them do their homework, just, like, anything that, like, a normal dad would do. So from what I understand, he came into the picture when Caitlin was 4. They got married when Caitlin was 7. So her whole life she had known.
Yeah.
Pretty much. When Caitlin was in high school, she asked her mom if she could graduate early, and I found some mixed reasonings on this. A lot of people actually said that Caitlin was extremely intelligent. She was really good with technology. She was just, like, able to graduate. I've also seen some sources say that that Caitlin wanted to graduate early because she wanted to get away from her home life because it wasn't as great as everyone thought. One of her friends claimed that Caitlin told him that James was really verbally abusive, and he wasn't sure that James was ever physically abusive, but definitely verbally. And her friend Kevin claimed that Caitlin just didn't trust James, and she wanted to start working right after graduating so that she could just go get a place on her own and move out. But regardless, Caitlin graduated from high school at 16 years old. And I've seen a lot of people say that she graduated 2 years early, but I don't think that's the case. I think she graduated a year early because her birthday was in September. So she probably just had, like, the weird cutoff date. I think she graduated as a junior. She took her junior and senior year, because I don't think you can legally graduate as a sophomore.
No.
So I just wanted to point that out. It seems like around this time is when Caitlin's mother, Lisa, and James had actually split up. From my understanding, Caitlin never really moved out of her mom's house or on her own until she decided to move across the country to Arizona. So I think she stayed living with her mom for about 2 years. I don't know if she was working or what, but she was staying home for almost 2 years.
So I'm assuming then her graduating early didn't really have anything to do with her home life if she didn't move out immediately.
Well, I think that her mom and her stepdad had split up right after she graduated.
Okay, so that's why she was like, okay, stay here then.
Maybe. That's what I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Or who knows? Maybe she changed her mind. She did have a younger sister. Maybe she thought that if she left, then she would take on the brunt. I don't know. I think that maybe she was also just smart and wanted to get out.
Yeah.
So when Caitlin was in elementary school, she met a girl named Amber Rios. And the two were best friends. And when Amber was 11... her family moved to Arizona, and the two stayed in contact. They talked all the time. They were still best friends, and they eventually grew their friendship into a long distance relationship, which that's so far away.
Yeah.
For so young. But I mean, they're also growing up in, and we saw this too, like in the digital time where, like, people do that. So in December of 2014, right before Caitlin turned 18, she moved to Arizona to be with Amber, and the two got engaged. And from my understanding, what?
Well, that's, like, intense.
Like, very serious, very interested in this relationship. They meant it. So Lisa was not thrilled about this move, but she just wanted Caitlin to be happy, so she totally, like, supported her through it. She didn't really give her any, like, a hard time. She was just kind of like, you know, you're done with school, and what can I do? And I almost wonder if this is partially why Caitlin graduated early, so that she could move out to Arizona.
Probably.
I mean, it took her some time, too, but
think about when you were in high school, dating the greatest man you've ever dated. Like, wouldn't you move?
Do anything for that person? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So Caitlin was still extremely close to her family, even though she was 1,000 miles away. She would text her sister all day long, nonstop. She would call her mom at least 2 to 3 times a day. The three of them were like super close. Yeah, it was a lot. And I remember seeing like she would call her mom and just be like, hey, what do you put in like sauce? Like, she would just like call her randomly about random things. So I don't know. They were really close. She probably really missed them, from my guess. And it all seemed like it was going really well in Arizona. And by the time Caitlin was 19 in December 2015, she decided she wanted to enroll in cosmetology school. Caitlin's friends and family say that Caitlin had always expressed interest in the beauty industry. And since she was young, she was braiding her friend's hair. She would color her hair all sorts of like crazy colors. She would cut it all sorts of like different lengths. She would chop it off, give herself bangs.
Are you telling your life story?
I am. I didn't go as nuts, though. I didn't chop my hair off. Like,
no, her hair was very short in the end.
And it was, like, pink, I think. Well, I think it was blonde at that point, but it was, like, faded from pink.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she had tattoos, and it just seemed like it would be a really good fit for her. She also told her mom that she really wanted to do hair because she wanted to have a career that worked at making people feel really good about themselves, which I think is really nice. She seemed like a really nice person.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to complete the enrollment process for beauty school, Caitlin needed her high school diploma, which was back in Virginia. And I'm sure that like one of her family members could have mailed this to her, but her sister also was about to give birth to a baby boy, and
her sister was younger than her.
Right. I couldn't find her sister's age. I didn't really look.
But she was younger than her. So.
Definitely younger than her, yeah. She looks very young. Okay. She's actually married now, the sister.
Okay.
Which is interesting. Yeah. So, yeah, she was about to give birth to a baby boy, and Caitlin was really, really excited to meet her nephew, Landon. Her mother said that Caitlin was really, really good with kids, and she loved babies, and growing up, she wanted to be a Head Start teacher since she attended the school. And Head Start's a program for low-income preschoolers that get them the education that they need. So to kill two birds with one stone, Caitlin flew out to Virginia on December 1st, and this was going to be a really short trip. Originally, she was going to come home on Monday, December 7th, but that was the day that beauty school started, so she had to come back to Arizona on December 5th because she was going to go there, spend time with her family, get her diploma so she could go to school.
Question. You've been to beauty school.
I wonder if this is the exact same thing that I'm curious about.
So, wouldn't you need more than 2 days before?
That's what, like, I thought.
Okay.
Because I just find it really strange that throughout all of the enrollment process, they didn't need the diploma, like, prior to really enrolling you into a class. Like, you're going to start the class on Monday and bring your diploma with you on Monday?
Yeah, I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah, I had to bring it in months before.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think is maybe they contacted her school and, like, got the records and they just wanted the physical copy. But yeah. I found that really weird, honestly.
I agree.
During Caitlin's trip to Virginia, she spent a lot of time with Gabby and baby Landon. Also, during her trip, Caitlin had gotten together with some old high school friends that she hadn't seen since she was in school, so it had been quite some time, and the two friends had actually become a couple. They started dating, and on December 4th, the day before Caitlin was scheduled to leave, Caitlin went over to the couple's house, and it seems like the three of them had been playing cards, watching movies. They got really drunk, and Caitlin decided to spend the night there because none of them were the DD, so she didn't really have a choice. Caitlin went home in the morning to pack everything up and spend more time with her family, and they all said that she seemed like she was in a good mood. She was happy to see Amber, but bummed to be leaving them.
Mm-hmm.
So on December 5th, 2015, Caitlin's flight was around 5:40 p.m., but Lisa had to work that day. I guess she worked like weekends, so she couldn't drive Caitlin to the airport, and I didn't really see why Gabby couldn't. I wonder if she just didn't want to like pack up her brand new baby and drive her baby 50 miles or whatever it was to the airport, especially in December. So Lisa went to her last resort, which was asking her ex-husband and the girl's ex-stepdad, James, to drive Caitlin to the airport. And it seems like they were on really, really good terms, James and Lisa. And he was still involved in Gabby and Caitlin's lives. I would say he was probably more involved in Gabby's life than he was Caitlin's, because she lived in Arizona. Uh-huh. And Caitlin and James' relationship had remained somewhat strained after the divorce, from everything that I've read. However, he was the only father that she had ever known, and she was actually really excited to see him because it had been a while. So Lisa drops Caitlin off at James' house, and he lived in Partlow, Virginia, which I assume is not far from their home in Caroline County. I think it was a little further south. And she brought her there around 9:20 in the morning. And Lisa said, and this is in quotes, "He seemed happy to see her. He seemed happy, excited. They were talking about her cosmetology school, her high school diploma. They were talking about it, sitting on the couch." So, like, weird.
Yeah. Like, what do you have to talk about your high school diploma?
I know. 5 years
ago? Oh, you got your diploma? Great.
Oh. Cool. All
right.
James told the two of them that he had to work that day around 3 o'clock, so he would have to drop Caitlin off at the airport about, like, 4 hours early, because it was an hour and a half drive to get to the airport.
And he had to work. Miss her flight.
Yeah. So James claimed that he dropped Caitlin off at the Springfield Mall, which was 2 metro stations away from the airport. He said that she told him that she was going to shop around and kill time and then take the metro from the mall over to the airport to catch her flight. And James texted Lisa at 1:52 to let her know that he dropped Caitlin off and this was the last time that Caitlin would ever be seen. So there's a lot of speculation around that portion, which we're definitely going to get into. And before I get into all the text messages from that day, I want to talk about the night before a little bit. So remember how I was saying that Caitlin hung out with those two friends from high school that were now a couple? She stayed at the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to text messages between Caitlin and her really good friend and ex-boyfriend, Kevin, who, yeah. So I guess, or like, this was probably before she started dating women. But from what I gathered also, she did jump from like boyfriend to boyfriend and girlfriend to girlfriend, like quite a bit.
Okay.
So, according to Kevin, who is also the friend that she told that James was very abusive, Caitlin claimed that the boyfriend and the friend forced themselves on me when she was drunk. And she went on to tell them what had happened. And I have this in quotes because it's a text or a Facebook message that she had sent him. And it says, "Her boyfriend got me really, really drunk, and then he kissed me, and then she kissed me. Then we started playing a card game, and everything went back to normal. Then we were watching a movie in blank's lap," I don't know their names, "with blank because there wasn't enough space for 3 people on their little couch. And then he started kissing me and touching me, and so was blank. We all ended up having sex, like, together. And then went to bed and cried. And I stayed the night, so then today it was super awkward between us all. We're all okay now, but I fucked up with a colon and a P, like a, which is a weird, like, I don't know why you put that."
Also, were they all crying together?
That's my speculation. Oh, no, I'm sorry. "Then I went to bed and cried." They were not all crying together. Sorry about that. She went to bed and cried, which is sad to me because she has this girlfriend and I feel like she really loves the girlfriend and this mistake just had happened, you know?
Fiance.
True. It is her fiance. Yeah, I don't know. It just super weird. And what I find really weird is they're like sitting on the couch on this person's lap all together watching a movie.
Like, what I find weird is if it was weird in the beginning and this person is kissing you and then you're kissing other people and then you just start like, okay, fine, whatever, let's continue playing this game. I'd be like, no, I'm gonna go.
Right.
Like, I feel like a part of her didn't think she, like, fucked up. Especially if she's using a tongue face.
Like, she wanted to do what had happened. Maybe. Maybe, yeah. I mean, I could definitely see that. But I also could see, like, some people are just very easily manipulated and they, like, don't know how to say, like, no. And also she's very drunk, so she's not going anywhere. And I don't think she had a license from my gathering.
Strange.
So Kevin also claimed that Caitlin had felt so guilty about this, and she told him that she felt like she was a bad person for doing this. She said, and this is also in quotes, "I don't know how to feel or anything. I've been depressed and crying all day." She also said to him that she didn't want to stay in Virginia, but also didn't want to go back to Arizona. So a little...
Where's she going?
A little strange.
Yeah.
I couldn't get the timestamp on these to see when they were sent or if they were sent around the timing of all of her texts that day. Like the Facebook messages, I couldn't figure out when those were sent. But at 11:56 on December 5th, Caitlin texted Amber saying, "Something came up. I'm not coming back today. I'll let you know when I get a new flight." And the reason I say this is because if she's messaging Kevin saying that she's been depressed and crying all day, this is 11:56 that she's sending this text. I would think that that has to be her.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause what's all day?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so strange to me.
Yeah.
So she then texted again in a separate message, "I won't be able to text for a bit." At 1:52, Lisa gets a text from James saying that he says, "I dropped Caitlin off." That's all he says.
Okay.
She responds, "Okay, thank you." And then she texts again and says, "How was traffic?" He says, "Not too bad." I can't tell if Lisa asks any questions here or if he just texted her after this saying, "I dropped her at the Springfield Metro station. She was going to take the Metro to the airport since there is a stop at Reagan," which Reagan is the airport.
I have a question. Sure. So they're in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I don't know in my head I was thinking West Virginia. But metro stations make me think not West Virginia, so...
Well, Springfield is near Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely more populated.
Yes, which is, like, Virginia-ish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, further north.
Yeah.
At 2 o'clock, Caitlin texts Lisa saying that she's at the airport, and then again, she texts her saying that her battery is going to die and she won't be able to text for a bit. So she texts her two separate messages twice in a row. Mm-hmm. Around this time, Amber calls Lisa because she's really confused about why Caitlin isn't coming home. She claims that they hadn't gotten into any fights or anything and everything was really good between them. She claimed that she thought Caitlin was excited to come back home and start cosmetology school. And at this point, Lisa's really confused because she got a totally different message from Caitlin saying that Caitlin's at the airport. I assume that Lisa had tried to call Caitlin but got no answer. And 5 hours later at 7:15, Caitlin texts Lisa saying, "I'm with a friend," and then a second text, "I need some time alone." Lisa responds, "Call me. I am very worried about you, and please call me." And those are the last text messages between the two. But not long after this, Amber gets a Facebook message from Caitlin saying, "I can't come back. I cheated on you." And that was all the rest of the contact that anybody had had with Caitlin. They all kept calling her until her calls went straight to voicemail, pretty much. Lisa tried to report Caitlin as a missing person the next day, but was told by law enforcement that they couldn't do anything based on her texts, and they told Lisa that she needs to wait 24 hours to file a missing persons report. Yes. So this brings me to a big point that I want to state again, even though I have in past episodes. You do not have to wait any amount of time to report somebody missing. So do not let law enforcement tell you that, because it doesn't have to be 12 hours. It doesn't have to be 24 hours. It doesn't have to be 48 hours. You can literally, if you thought that I went missing a minute ago, you can go report me missing. And officials are going to say that there's nothing that they can do because she's a legal adult. She can run away if she wants to. There's no reason that she can't. And this is another situation that also occurs all the time. And while I get it, because it isn't a crime to run off at 19, the reasoning behind it is that they don't want to waste their resources on what could potentially be a runaway. Mm-hmm. And I personally, and I tried like looking up statistics on this because I would love to see how many missing people were actually runaways. I would love to see the numbers because I feel like we see this so many times in missing persons cases and it's such an issue. Mm-hmm. Because the first 48 hours are the most crucial moments.
Yeah.
In a missing persons case. And who knows, maybe we could have found her alive if we had an extra 24 hours on this whole thing and it could have been prevented, but I don't know. So the following day on December 7th, Lisa went back to the police station to file a missing persons report. And while she was there, she was pulled into a room and told that they had found Caitlin's luggage in a drainage ditch on the side of the road on River Road near Mott's Run Reservoir, which is in Spotsylvania, so only a few miles from her hometown. In her suitcase, they had found her wallet with her ID, her credit card, her money, and some gift cards in it, as well as her plane ticket was in the suitcase, too. I've also seen some conflicting statements about what else was in it. Some sources claim that all of her clothes were missing, but everything was neatly folded inside. So I'm not sure what would have been like folded inside if all the clothes were missing.
Right.
I've also seen some sources that say some of her clothes were missing, but her mom and her sister say all of her clothes were missing. So it's a little conflicting. And her high school diploma was also missing. And she made a whole point to come back to get the high school diploma. Yeah, exactly. So they also noticed that the suitcase looked like it was like thrown out of a moving car. There was a wheel missing on it and there were scuff marks all over it. I also kind of wonder if like, or I wonder how long the suitcase was sitting there in the drainage ditch. Like, had it been two full days? Was it just appeared there? I don't know. But if somebody could have maybe seen it and possibly taken the clothes out of it or something, which sounds really weird.
But. Yeah, but also my question is, why did they wait to tell the mother that until she like came to the police station? Like, why
didn't
they found
it while she was there?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Like, they found out that it was hers while she was
there. I thought they found it and they were just like hanging out with it, like
waiting,
doing anything.
No. They found it while she was there.
Okay.
So yeah, but super weird. The whole suitcase thing is very strange to me. I don't know if this was somebody panicked and threw it out a window. I don't know if this was intentionally thrown out a window and
they check wanted it fingerprint to
be found. I'm sure, but it was cloth, like, so maybe on the zipper you'd find something, but I don't know. They haven't released any information on that, which that's another thing I'm going to touch on later, but I'm sure that there is a lot of information that we don't know because it's still an active missing persons case that they're trying to like keep secretive for now, so that if somebody knows something about, then they can be like, oh, how'd you know that? Because that's not released to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, they have a cause for concern and start investigating. And on December 6th, a young blonde woman with tattoos was found shot in the back of the head in a car outside of a house. And police had thought that maybe this could have been Caitlin because she was blonde, she'd had tattoos, and she was just reported missing. So they did DNA testing and everything because, like I said, she was found on December 6th and Caitlin was reported missing on December 7th. And it turned out it wasn't Caitlin and it was 21-year-old Heather Saccone. And there was a lot of speculation that this was a serial killing now at this point because the two had not necessarily looked similar, but they both had blonde hair, blue eyes. She was 21. Caitlin was 19, kind of the same age. However, investigators determined that the two were not involved. There's not any surveillance footage showing Caitlin at the mall, airport, or the Springfield metro station.
I was going to ask that.
Right, which according to James, she should have been at least at one of those, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if not all.
If he actually dropped her off.
Right. But at this point in time, they said that James's story was corroborated. And he wasn't a person of interest.
How?
I don't know.
Last person.
Yeah.
To keep her alive. He was the one that was responsible to take her where she was supposed to be going. And she didn't end up where she was going.
I almost wonder if maybe smart. On surveillance they had thought they saw somebody who looked like her, so they just
like, okay.
Or what they could have been doing, which would be kind of smart, is trying to make him comfortable in thinking that he's not a person of interest.
In my head, he is the number one person of interest.
Right, like the number one, like anybody who is the last person to see somebody alive should be the first suspect, right?
Yeah.
They never really discussed how it was corroborated at all, but they just said he wasn't a suspect and it's an open investigation. And he was really cooperative with authorities, actually. He had agreed to take in a polygraph, even though they didn't wind up taking it at this point. He allowed a search of his home and he handed over all of his technology. He handed over like DVD players, computers. So he was pretty cooperative, but they didn't find anything. And this would be the case until December of 2016.
Did
officials at this what?
Check where her phone like was sending the messages from?
So eventually they do.
Okay. Because like, if she's texting at 7 o'clock at night, but hasn't really been seen since really 9 o'clock when her mom drops her off.
So, yeah, eventually they do, and the cell phone records for this are really difficult because, so, they wound up not getting cell phone records from James, which we'll totally get into more, but
okay.
They don't have enough, clearly they don't have enough to look into his, but they can see where things pinged, obviously, mm-hmm. right? So, we're definitely going to talk about all the pings of these texts.
Okay.
But, yeah, so this would be the case until December 2016, and officials at this point had claimed that they do not believe Caitlin ever left Spotsylvania County that day. So I don't know why it took them so long to announce that, since they had found her suitcase there almost immediately. So this is a whole year later.
Right.
So that to me means they had no information coming in a year, and they were finally like, okay, we need to, like, release something. I could be wrong, but why would you take a whole year to, I don't know, to figure that out, unless they had it figured out. So, but like I said, they could have had information. They were just not releasing it to the public. And after searching James's property and seizing some of his things, they found nothing suspicious at all. And I did read that he has another property somewhere nearby. It's something that's a little weird about this, though, I thought, was he never really asked for any of his things back. Like, he never asked for his, like, computers and DVD players. I mean, I guess in 2016, who needs a DVD player?
Right, but your computer?
I don't know. I thought that was weird. And I don't know if they have his phone, like that phone, and he got a new phone or what. I would imagine they do. So now I want to talk a little bit about the text messages that were sent. And this is going to totally, like, answer what you were wondering. When James texted Lisa at 1:56, his phone pinged off of a tower over 30 miles away from the mall that he had claimed to drop her off at. So south, 30 miles south.
Okay.
And I couldn't really figure out, I'm still confused about the pings, to be honest with you. I'm very confused about the pings.
Okay.
Because I feel like there's not enough information. There is a map, but it doesn't give me enough. So when Caitlin texted Lisa at 2 o'clock, so these are, I'm sorry, he texted at 1:52, not 1:56. These are 8 minutes apart.
Mm-hmm.
Her phone pinged off of a tower that was closer to James' home. And when Caitlin sent that 7:15 text to her mom, it pinged off of a tower in Stafford, which is less than 15 miles, like 20 minutes away from her hometown and where her luggage was found. It was 15 miles away from where her luggage was found, which, I mean, 15 miles is pretty, that doesn't mean anything to me in regards to the luggage.
No.
But, and yeah, there is a little map that if you like Google it, it'll pop up somewhere and it shows two pings, which I'm assuming are James and Caitlin's pings and not Caitlin and Caitlin's pings, if that makes sense.
Right.
I think they're James and Caitlin's. So it may visually make more sense for people to look at that than me describing it. But it seems like her phone never went any further north than Stafford, which was significantly closer to her hometown than the mall. Also, I couldn't get an exact location on the text ping for James, which I was saying. And after all these pieces of evidence started stacking up against him, James decided that he didn't want to take a polygraph, and he also stopped cooperating with the police. From my understanding, he just doesn't answer phone calls now, and Lisa claims that he's not speaking to her or Gabby, and she's extremely frustrated. She does not trust him. She believes he's involved. And she actually wrote him a letter in October of 2017 and expressed her frustration. And I'm going to read the letter. James, I don't know why you won't talk to me or anyone else. If you were innocent, you would have talked already. I'm not sure how you can live with yourself. You haven't tried to help find her. Does it bother you that at all that she's missing? It has been almost 2 years, James, and I need answers. You owe me that much. You have known her since she was 4 years old. I thought you loved her and us. This is not showing that at all. You need to talk. Do you care at all? You are acting like a coward. I trusted you, James. Why didn't you just drop Caitlin off at the airport? Caitlin trusted you, James. What did you do to her? You know Caitlin would have never just left like that. Oh, she said leave. You know Caitlin would have never just left like that. With no contact. She have missed all of Landon's milestones. That's not fair to her or Landon, me, Gabby, all of us. This will never go away until she's found, Lisa. So, yeah, she's, like, real pissed off.
Rightly so.
Right. However, the fact that he decided not to do a polygraph and stop cooperating does not mean anything to me, because I just don't think that anybody should ever do a polygraph. And if somebody is zoning in on you as a suspect, then why would you want to cooperate? That's my opinion.
To prove that you're innocent?
Yeah, but this is what police do. They twist your words. They tell you you failed a polygraph when you didn't. They make you feel like an idiot. Like, that's just what they do. They manipulate you.
Mm-hmm. But
you should do is get a lawyer and not take a polygraph.
Right.
But that makes people think that you're suspicious.
Should always get a lawyer.
Right. But he's not arrested for anything, and he's not being charged with anything. However, I still think that he should have had a lawyer. But obviously, he didn't have to, because here we are. So, yeah, he stopped cooperating, which, I mean, I don't know. I get it. After all these years of being the prime suspect, the media is attacking you constantly. I'm not saying that I think he's innocent, by the way, or that he didn't have anything to do with it. I'm just saying that's not what matters to me.
I just wonder if she actually did leave on her own.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all, like, the circumstances, but because of what happened the night before and everything.
Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, this is where the evidence and the investigation in this really ends. And the case has been open for over 3 years and nothing new has come of it. But I do want to talk about some of the theories that have come out. And I mean, do you have any other information that you've come across that I've missed? Because there's just not
the way you did.
Oh, okay.
I knew about it when it, like, happened years ago.
Yeah, it just, unfortunately, there's just not a lot out there. And it makes me a little sad with this case, because I just don't feel like it gets the media attention that it should. And I think if it did, it would maybe be solved. And I'm not really sure why it doesn't. I don't know if it's because she's gay. I don't know if it's because she claims she didn't want to be in Virginia or Arizona, and people know that, and that's why they don't care. But it definitely bothers me that this hasn't gotten enough coverage. I do feel like that happens, though, a lot with cases that have to do with, like, LGBTQ. They do definitely get pushed down.
So stupid.
Yeah. Definitely stupid. I just want to say that every source that I've come across talks about how her dad abandoned them and they had no relationship whatsoever. But based on Facebook, her father posted some, like, he is definitely some sort of involvement, but he lives in Indiana and he made a post that was like, Caitlin, we miss you so much. I don't remember exactly what it said, but it was like, me and your grandma and this and that on the Aiken side miss you so much. We love you. This and the other thing. So there had to be some sort of.
Or he's just doing what,
like, looking for attention.
Yeah,
maybe. Or maybe it was just like an internet relationship that they chatted here and there.
Yeah,
so I don't know, but let's talk about the theories, because there's quite a few, actually. So I want to talk a little bit about Heather Saccone, who I mentioned super briefly in the beginning, the girl who they thought was Caitlin with the gunshot in the back of her head that wasn't. And I've seen this theory pop up in a couple of different places. So There's a lot of people that think that these cases are related due to the fact that they were young girls with blonde hair and blue eyes. However, Heather's murder does seem to be an isolated incident. People still are trying to claim that it's not. But there have been two people convicted of this, and Joshua Williams was sentenced to 38 years in prison for first-degree murder, and Jonathan Vairano was sentenced to life in prison for first-degree murder. So,
drug-related?
What?
Was it drug-related?
Yes. So, well, kind of, yeah, it was. So, according to the prosecution, Heather had been going to meet Joshua to pick up some marijuana, and Joshua's girlfriend had convinced him to kill her because she was upset that, because she found out that Heather and Joshua were having some sort of a sexual relationship. So, prosecutors also say that Jonathan didn't know Heather at all, but he carried out the hit for Joshua to be a part of Joshua's street gang called G-Shine Blood, and also for a large amount of weed. So,
G-Shine Blood?
G-Shine Blood. And Joshua's girlfriend was never charged in connection to the crime.
What?
But there's probably no proof. Isn't that so, like, crazy?
Oh my god!
So yeah, clearly these two crimes are not related. But honestly, with that one, thank god they found that out, because I feel like there have been a few different, like, podcasts or just, like, things that I've listened to or watched that were, like, clearly drug-related, but you think, like, the spouse is involved or this person's involved, and, like, it just goes to show that this shit does happen over weed. Even though it's...
Right, and, like, the same thing that happened... You know, by where you were going to buy that house. It was all over weed.
Yes.
And, like, please. There's no point. There's enough to go around.
Right. It's just ridiculous.
I understand if you're killing people over, like, things that are actually, like heroin. Crack. Right.
So then other people also wanted to claim, like, I was, you know how I am. I get sucked down the holes of theories. Mm-hmm. And people were also trying to claim that, like, Caitlin was trying to buy weed from them too the same night.
Uh-huh.
And that's what happened. And yeah. So the next theory that I've seen is that there's something a little strange about Caitlin's friend, Kevin, her ex-boyfriend slash friend, which when I first read this, I was like, okay, these people are reaching. But as I started reading it, I was like, interesting. Because a lot of people are really suspicious of him online because he was the only person who Caitlin actually told about the cheating that we know of, because it was through text and Facebook. And he would have been able to send the Facebook message to Amber saying that she cheated because he knew about that. He also is the source behind claiming that James was definitely verbally abusive. So he's painting him in a bad light, which I don't know. And he's from her hometown, which would also explain her pangs. Also, people find it a little suspicious that he was one of her ex-boyfriends. Maybe he was jealous of her relationship with Amber, or maybe he was jealous of the threesome that she had had. Maybe, like, I don't know. He wanted to be with her. I don't know. This is just everything I've read. Okay. I don't put a ton of weight into this theory. However, I wouldn't be shocked to hear that he had some sort of involvement. But the officials haven't really suspected him at all. And I would think that they would be able to check his phone pings and his alibis to see if he were a possible suspect.
Yeah.
And also, I wonder where he would have met her. I mean, I guess he could have met her at the mall that James claims he drove Caitlin to.
I feel like, if anything, like, you know, since she confided in him that she wanted to not be there or in Arizona.
Sure.
Maybe he helped her out and
helped her get away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking earlier.
Yeah, and that's kind of, like, also what I one of my points was in here too, was, you know, maybe he did meet her at the mall. I just am surprised that we haven't heard about, like, cell phone records, like calls, because that changes a lot of things too. We only have texts and Facebook messages. And maybe he did go pick her up and bring her back down to that area and help her, like, get her life together. I mean, she texted her mom saying, I'm with a friend, I need to be alone. I don't know though, because it's been 3 years. Like,
and she was so close with her mom before.
Yes, they talked all the time.
She would reach out to her at some point.
Yeah, and she enrolled in beauty school. Like, it's just very strange. So there's also a slight suspicion, which don't mock me for this one. I'm just bringing it to light that maybe the couple she had a threesome with had something to do with this. And I just feel like there would have had to be so many coincidences to put them, like, together or, like, you know what I mean? In order to make this work.
Right.
Because she would have had to somehow, because she was with James. Like, at the end of the day, she was with James at some point. So if James truly did drop her off here and we just didn't see it on camera, which I don't get how, then she would have to contact them to come, like they would have to know where she was. So
it seemed like she didn't really want to be around them.
No, she definitely wanted to move on from that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the three that I found. Well, the one is like totally not, it definitely didn't happen, but those are the three that were a little like just weird ones. But I want to talk about the two that I think are most likely, and I think that most people also speculate on. So the first one that I want to talk about is that Caitlin ran away. So she was feeling really guilty, she was feeling depressed, and she didn't know what she wanted or where she wanted to be, and she claimed all these things. It's not like we're guessing. She said this. She said she didn't want to be in Virginia, but also didn't want to be in Arizona. And personally, I think that that's also being a teenager, and the fact that she feels that she really messed up, like her emotions are just kind of getting to her. And I think when you're that age, and from what I understand, she was a pretty big free spirit. So I understand not knowing where you want to be and not wanting to be tied down to something, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said before, like I find this whole entire theory so unbelievably difficult to just start a new life, and nobody has seen you, nobody has reported you, there's been no tips. How would you get away with it? And on top of it, like we were just saying, the whole thing with her, she was so close to her family, she was going there just to see her nephew, basically. And I can't imagine she didn't reach out or anything like that, just to be like, hey, I'm okay, but let me be, or something. I mean, maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, I think it's possible, but I also just don't at the same time.
Yeah, I definitely think it's possible. I also think it's possible that maybe James helped her get away.
And that's why he's not talking to anyone. Maybe he knows where she is.
Exactly. And maybe she threw her suitcase out the window.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did help her. Maybe she told him and confided in him what had happened, and he helped her get away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I can see that. And maybe that's, like, her way of keeping in contact with everyone, because I'm sure he can send her pictures of, like, Landon and everything
sure.
like that.
So, well, I don't know.
Maybe not now.
Mm-hmm. I would just think that after all this blew up, you would come out, you know?
Right.
So, but yeah, I don't know. I find that theory a little difficult that she ran away. But if she did, she had help. And I would imagine that it was either James or the friend Kevin.
Yeah.
But I just think that if that were the case, it could explain the coincidences between her and James, you know?
For sure.
So let's talk about the most common theory and what's probably the most obvious.
Yeah.
Is that James had something to do with this.
Yeah.
So there's speculation that maybe when Caitlin was dropped off that morning, he had full intentions of driving her to the airport. And then maybe she confided in him about the cheating, and that in combination with her homosexuality, like, sent him over the edge. I don't know what his support was like with that, but that's what I've seen. Or maybe he never had the intention of taking her to the airport, and maybe he blamed her for him and Lisa's divorce and was angry. I truly don't know. But either way, if he had something to do with it, something had to set him off. Because from what I understand, and I could be wrong, like, this was her last resort of who she was asking to bring Caitlin to the airport. So I don't know if that means that she asked him that day. Because if she asked him that day, then that's like a pretty quick decision to make that you're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're angry.
But I feel like it wasn't that day. Because...
Right, like it had to be a couple days?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you figure that kind of shit out.
Yeah, you're not gonna be like, well, we'll wing it.
Yeah. But yeah, either way, I mean, something obviously set him off, and maybe it was even an accident. Like, maybe something happened and he accidentally, like, maybe he hit her and she hit her head or something. I don't know. And he had to, like, cover it up. I have no idea. Like,
where's the body?
I've seen so many reasons why people think that he could have done this, but let's talk about the evidence.
Okay.
So first, he needed to drive Caitlin to the airport 4 hours early, like I was saying, because he had work at 3. Mm-hmm. However, he never went into work that day. And in fact, he never went back to work again. He never went back to work. So kind of weird. I don't really know why.
So
just
weird.
Just didn't.
So weird.
But yeah. And I also want to talk about the other property that James owned. So James has another property in Spotsylvania County, and I'm not exactly sure where it was, but Lisa said it's in the middle of all of the pings, from what she says. I don't know what that means. I don't know where it is, but it's somewhere in that area. So I was listening to Crime Junkie, and they interviewed Lisa, and she said that officers couldn't search the property because his mother lived there, so they couldn't secure a search warrant, I guess, which I don't really know how that works, but...
That sounds a little strange.
Yeah. There's speculation that that's where the body is. Huh. Or was. Also, I kind of wonder if maybe if she did actually run away, if maybe that's where she was hiding for a little while.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, either her body is there in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. So I also want to go back to the text messages. So Caitlin's mother claimed that she never double texted. Caitlin hated when people double texted. So she said that she suspected it wasn't her daughter from 11:56 on when she texted Amber that she wasn't coming home or whatever because of the double text. She said that she would never text like that. That's not who she is. But this doesn't mean anything to me personally. But, I mean, they talked to her 24/7, so maybe they would know. But I thought that was kind of, like, a weird thing because there are times when I do and times when I don't.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think it depends on the person I'm talking to and, like, how many thoughts I have going through my head.
Yeah. I just... That's a hard one to say that it couldn't have been her, you know?
Yeah.
Because it could have been, but I don't know that I think it is. Just... I don't know. So let's talk back about the cell phone pings. Caitlin's phone never went any further north than Stafford, Virginia, which is 20 minutes from Fredericksburg. So that's like her hometown. And it seems like Caitlin lived on the border of Caroline County and Spotsylvania County. So they were really familiar with both. But that being said, James' phone and Caitlin's phone pinged at two different towers, 8 minutes apart from each other. So I'm not really sure how cell phone towers work or how many there are in that area.
Yeah.
But I'd imagine that each one takes up a certain radius. So when I looked up how far cell towers cover, I found that they can cover a maximum of 22 to 45 miles, which is quite a distance. So... maybe one text message was sent nearing the end of one radius of a cell phone tower and one was sent just coming into the next. Mm-hmm. Because I do feel like they were kind of far away from each other. Like they were maybe 10, more than 10, maybe like 15 minutes from each other. Like the pings.
Mm-hmm.
So, but either way, her text at 2 o'clock pinged closer to his house, and his phone pinged in Fredericksburg, and I think that the two were, I don't know, maybe they were 20 minutes apart. I looked this up. Oh yeah, they were 20 miles apart, so that's kind of far actually for them to be pinging in different ones, but also kind of close.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, I feel really weird about the pings. I'm very confused about them.
I mean, I'm feeling really weird that he never went back to work.
I know. I just don't know what to gather from these pings. Does it make me feel like he's more guilty or more innocent? Not that he's been arrested or anything, just more suspicious or less? I don't know.
I think he's more suspicious because he didn't go back to work.
True.
I'm not even on the pings. I'm just on the work.
I wonder why he never went back to work, though. Yeah. I guess he didn't have time because he was too busy covering this up.
True.
Also, I read that he's very tech savvy. And apparently you can alter where your phone pings. I don't know how. I don't know why. But maybe he did that. I don't know. Also, either way.
Where your phone pings. That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
Like, how do I, like, say I want to look up where my phone is pinging to? Like, you know?
I don't know. I guess, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't. But regardless, it's super strange that they're pinging down when they're nowhere near the airport at this point. You know, like, at the end of the day, they're not where they say they are or where they're supposed to be. And, you know, sometimes you forget to text somebody and say, oh, I dropped so-and-so off, like, and you text them a while later. And I do think that actually her mom did text him asking if he dropped her off. And then he responded, I dropped Caitlin off or something like that. But yeah. Regardless, they're not where they should be. Even if he did drop her off, he's way too far south at this point.
I always forget to text people. Like, my mom always wants me to text her when I'm home, and I always forget.
Yeah, I know. I forget all the time. Either way, that's strange. So, yeah, and then it seems like her phone never really left. I mean, granted, she wasn't texting or calling anybody, but it never really left the area surrounding James' house until 7 p.m. when she sent out the text to her mom in Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that law enforcement has other pings in the middle of these that aren't being, like, spoken on yet. I mean, I think they would have to. So I'm sure that there's other information that's going to come out on that. I also want to talk about the fact that there's no footage of James ever dropping Caitlin off. And there were cameras all around the outside of the mall. He gave them they know what his car looked like. And the security footage picked up nothing. Which I find weird.
So why do they not have him as a suspect?
Well, at this point in time, they do. But they don't have enough to arrest him. Yeah. So, I don't know. That's what's, like, so disappointing is, like, he clearly is a suspect.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have enough to do anything about it. Again, like, the fact that people like to say that he's suspicious because he wouldn't take a polygraph and this and the other thing, and that doesn't mean anything to me, but I do think that he's very suspicious. He was the last person to see her. Originally, he was supposed to drop her off at the airport, but then he later texted her mom saying that he dropped her off at the mall, and there's no surveillance of that. The cell phones don't ping in the right places that he's talking about. They're way too close together for him to be dropping her anywhere at this point in time. I mean, if her phone is pinging at his house, there is no way that she got back to his house before him. Do you know what I'm saying? Or that area before him.
Yeah.
So there's just way too many, like, strange coincidences. However, nothing really ties him physically to this, and it's just all speculation.
Which frustrates me, but yes.
I know. And also his phone is encrypted, so law enforcement can't even really get into it to see what's on there without a warrant. So hopefully that holds some answers or something, because I just hope they're still gathering evidence or something, because this is just, like, it's a frustrating one to me. Like, there's just not enough. And I do want to point out one thing that Caitlin's mom and aunt say that bothers me a little bit. I was watching, there's a Disappeared episode on this, and I was watching it, and they claim that there's no possible way Caitlin would have wanted to be dropped off at the mall and take the metro station, because she hadn't been on it since she was 6 or 7, and they didn't even know about this mall, so why would she want to be dropped off at this place that she didn't know? And they also said that she wouldn't have been able to figure out how to take the metro to the airport. However, in the same breath, they talk about how intelligent she was, and I just feel like, well, if she's so smart,
you follow the signs.
It's two stops away.
And you're good. And they announce it 45 times when you're riding one of these things.
Right.
It's not like they would say something that didn't have to do with the airport. If it's just the airport something, they'd say, what's the airport called?
It was like Ronald Reagan Washington Airport, I think.
Yeah, so it's like they would say airport.
Right.
It's not.
I just think if she's so smart, like, couldn't she figure that out?
Yeah.
Like, they made it seem like there's no way.
I can figure that shit out.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, I totally get wanting to be dropped off somewhere else. You have 4 hours to kill.
You're not going to sit in the friggin' airport for 4 hours. I mean, I've done it.
I mean, my family does.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait, hold on.
We're there usually, like, 3 hours early because you got to go through your checks and stuff like that, which I guess thinking about it, actually, it doesn't really make sense for her to be dropped up at the mall. But she's probably thinking like a kid and it's just like, oh, I'll look around.
But also, if you only have, like, a carry-on, you don't really need to, like,
check bags and stuff. Yeah. That's true.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah, I just didn't agree with what they had to say there. And there's two other things that are a little weird to me. So Caitlin's missing clothes and her high school diploma are very weird to me. I just don't understand where that diploma is. Because it's the whole reason she went there. So was this a part of the crime and it had to be, like, gotten rid of? Or is it with her? Or is this just to throw people off?
You would think if she ran away, you would think that she wouldn't just leave her license. She would take her license, and I would leave my diploma over my license.
Right?
And take some clothes.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that I will say is if she's running away, her diploma doesn't have a picture of her on it, and maybe she didn't want photo identification.
Right, but also it has her name, and people will obviously...
I know. I don't know. It's just, like, weird to me. Like, where the hell is this diploma? Or maybe could it have, like, fallen out of the bag? I don't know. Was this bag open when they found it? Could it have blown away? Or...
Right.
And the clothes. Like, I just... If she ran away, what, did she just, like, carry all these clothes in her, like, arms? Why wouldn't you just keep your fucking suitcase then?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, stash your wallet or something. I don't know. It just, it really bothers me. Those bother me. I have so many questions. It just bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like nothing's ever going to get answered. Well, not ever, but.
For a little while, at least.
Nothing's getting answered. There is, like, a Facebook page that's, like, Help Find Caitlin that her family runs. And you can call in tips, I guess, too. Local law enforcement there, but just, I hope that they're just building a case, and that's what this comes down to.
Yeah.
But I wonder what your thoughts are.
I have mixed feelings.
Yeah.
It's like part of me says that the stepfather, like, did something.
Yeah.
And then part of me thinks that maybe she actually did run away.
Yeah.
But the thing that's making me think that the something worse happened, like her stepfather or whatever, is because by now I would feel like she would contact people from her, like past life, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I just think it's so hard in this day and age to get away with running away and not being, like, found.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could, but...
You really wanted to.
If you're going to, like, another country...
Yeah, but you need proper identification to leave the country. So
I know.
Maybe she's in Mexico. It's easier to get down there.
Or Canada.
It is easy to get in Canada. You can get in Canada without a passport. You need a passport to get back into the U.S.
I just, like, so wonder either where she is or what happened. Like, whenever I decided that we were going to do this one or whatever, my gut told me James, but then I started, like, really thinking about it, and I was like, I don't know, maybe he's covering for something else other than that. But, so Caitlin's mom actually believes that James' mother helped him in all of this, and that there's evidence at that house. But by now, it's probably all gone.
Right. It'd be weird.
I don't know. I definitely go back and forth with it. I just feel like the fact that she was so close with her family. And to be honest, like, when I was reading and stuff like that, and I got irritated about how the mom was like, oh, she wouldn't be able to take the metro, blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. I was like, I don't know, the girl seems pretty independent. And then as I kept reading, I'm like, no, she doesn't. She's pretty dependent. I mean, she doesn't have a license. She doesn't know how to drive. She doesn't really do anything on her own. She didn't work.
Did her mom support her financially when she lived out in Arizona?
I don't know. I think that they lived with Amber's parents. But I don't know. I would imagine that that would be, like, an issue if you have this girlfriend living with us. And
God, yeah.
But she just seemed a little dependent and, like, needed her mom and needed her sister and stuff. And I can't imagine somebody like that running away. I mean, I guess right. I could if you're a free spirit, but...
She didn't seem like the type.
No. It's just so bizarre.
Yeah, that is strange.
Super weird, but I don't really have anything else on this. There's not much out there, like I said. It's just...
Yeah.
It's just strange things. There's not really any evidence that anybody did anything.
I mean...
I know.
I had.
I know. And he's definitely suspicious. But I don't know. Why? That's what I can't get. Why?
Like, what's the motive for sure?
The only thing I can think is that it's an accident.
Or he was angry about the divorce.
Yeah. Or her sexuality, I guess. But, like... Because it just would have had to been really convenient for him to, like, plan this all out. And she's only home for 4 days, and... I don't know. That's why it makes me think that it was an accident, because I feel like he was just trying to cover his tracks or something. I don't know.
Well, then it's like, come out and say it's an accident.
Yeah. But the cell phone pings are weird. The work thing is bizarre.
So weird. I can't let go of that.
Yeah. And that's, I think, what really bothers me is the fact that he made it a point that he had to bring her early because he had to go to work and then didn't go to work ever again.
Yeah, really weird.
I don't know. I'm back and forth, but that's what I lean more towards, I think.
I agree.
So. But yeah, we just wanted to do something a little different this week and have a little speculation as to what happened, because we do a lot that have closure, which we like, but I know that there's a lot of people out there that like missing persons cases. It also brings good awareness to the case. And yeah, so we will be back again on Friday with a recap of The Bachelor.
And a little bit of Vanderpump.
And a little bit of Vanderpump, which is fun. I'm actually really enjoying. But yeah, I hope you guys liked this one. It's a little different for us.
I liked it.
If anybody has requests, send them on over.
Yeah.
So.
We'll add them to the list.
Yeah, we'll add them to the list. Or if somebody requests something on the list, then we know that that's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Please go to our Instagram and follow us. Go to our Facebook page. Be our friend. And yeah, we'll see you guys on Friday with a new TV Time episode and on Monday with another true crime episode. Bye. Bye.